Joe knows politics and so much more. A true connection to real New York on 77 WABC. It's time for Radio Royalty with James Golden and America's Princess of Policy, Princess Di.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77. Manhattan Transfer brings us back in. And those of you that don't know what Birdland is all about, well. You know, 52nd Street in New York. If you're a young musician, you knew what 52nd Street was. It was a place where all the great music stores were. But more importantly, it was where Birdland used to be. Charlie Parker, part of New York history. Time for Diana Mee, our Princess of Policy. Welcome, Diana. How are you?
I am good. Happy to talk to you, James. How are you?
I am okay. I am I am angry, to be honest with you, over Joe Biden attacking our border agents. This is just, I mean, these people work so hard. They put their lives at risk. And this man has the nerve to point that bony little finger up in the air and promise that they're going to be hounded, that they're going to be the ones held to account for his failures. Anyway.
Well, I agree with you, but I think we can put a little bit of that into perspective, if you will allow me.
Please.
Okay. Now, you had asked me earlier to talk about the money, budget, bills, all that's happening in Washington and try and explain it. It is mind-numbing and people's eyes glaze over, and it is the most boring thing to talk about, the budget and bills and reconciliation and all that. So I wanted to just take a bird's eye view for a moment just to remember. Do you remember how mad the Republicans were when they felt betrayed by Joe Biden in June? There are two different pieces of legislation. One is the $3.5 trillion budget, and the other is the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill. So this happened in order. First came the infrastructure bill, went through the House, went to the Senate, and we were so annoyed because 11 Republicans voted for this, and they could call it a bipartisan infrastructure bill. Right. And we basically, of course, the Republicans never fight. You know, that was the typical reaction of our side. We were disappointed because we want these people to fight for us. And it seemed that they didn't. Now, these two bills then became tied together by the left in the House. Nancy Pelosi and the leftists in the House said, we are not going to pass these separately. We want the big $3.5 trillion thing. And we don't want you just to have the infrastructure bill, the $1 trillion. And so Nancy Pelosi framed it that way. They're going to be in tandem. That was the word. And then Joe Biden, when he signed the infrastructure, when he was talking about it, said he agreed with Nancy Pelosi and they had to be in tandem. He wasn't going to sign one without the other. And the Republicans erupted. Do you remember all this?
I remember that. The Republicans went ape stuff at that because that meant Joe Biden lied to them.
Well, there's another way of looking at that. Let me tell you what I think. I think this has been a Mitch McConnell strategy that is incredibly successful and sophisticated, and we're now seeing the results of it. These two bills have traveled together since June, and the left and Nancy Pelosi have been playing games, basically saying, oh, they can be separate. Oh, the votes can be separate, when they were still intending them to be together.
Right.
And now that Mitch McConnell allowed all that to happen, and the 11 Republicans, I don't know if they were in on the scheme or not, voted for it. Now, both of these bills are colliding, And Mitch McConnell all of a sudden is sitting back and saying, no, not going to help you raise the debt ceiling, which has to happen, has to happen, because the spending bill is more than our debt ceiling allows. So this happens as a matter of routine, and Republicans have always folded. And of course, the Democrats expected the Republicans to fold on the debt ceiling. And Mitch McConnell is changing the rules of the game. Never, ever hinted that until all of a sudden, where they are expecting on the left that this debt ceiling is going to be raised to allow them to pass this $3.5 trillion plus the $1 trillion. All of a sudden, Mitch McConnell says, you got the votes. You got 50. Do it yourself.
Do it yourself. Right. We're not going to pass that debt ceiling,
Bill. All of a sudden, they are acting like stuck pigs on the left, because they're like, well, the Republicans have to help us. That's our plan. It's like they planned on it, because the Republicans always have helped raise the debt ceiling. And so here's the thing. Dick Turbin just recently, a couple hours ago, said this is a new low in the United States Senate. The United States has never defaulted on its debt in its history. This tactic by the Republicans is just pointless and ruthless, and is going to hurt a lot of innocent people. Of course, Dick Turbin, it never occurs to him that he could cut spending. You know, what's been pointless is always raising the debt ceiling every single time. That's pointless. Why have a debt ceiling if every year you're going to raise it? So Mitch McConnell has, in my view, done a very effective thing, and that is basically trapped the Democrats in their own desire for crazy spending. And now they don't know, they don't want to be the ones on the hook for all of it, raising the debt ceiling and passing all this by themselves, because that is too easy to run against. And they know it. And guess what they are in? They are in Mitch McConnell's wheelhouse. This is his, he is better than anyone else alive, and probably of the last two centuries, at Senate arcane rules and Senate strategy. And Schumer is not up to it. You know, Reid was, Harry Reid was very good at this. And he could go
until his gym equipment, until his gym equipment attacked him.
Yeah, until he got smacked around by his weight machine. But Schumer isn't that good. And Schumer walked, in my opinion, walked right into this. And now they are stuck. They can't get out. And they have the left wing, you know, they've got 100 progressives, quote unquote, who are not going to vote for the bipartisan infrastructure bill if they don't have a deal on the $3.5 trillion spending bill. And then you have the moderates who love the bipartisan infrastructure bill and are really wary. And here's another reason they're wary. Joe Biden's poll numbers are tanking. And all of a sudden, the moderates see their own seats at risk if they're too close to Biden. So you have this fracturing House. You have this Senate, which is in the middle of being trapped into Mitch McConnell's. And that, to me, explains what we're seeing on the border, because we see that the budget and the bills are in Mitch's wheelhouse. So what's the Democrats' wheelhouse? Race wars and fomenting race anxiety and anger. And so they went for that. And that explains the level. They called in Al Sharpton yesterday.
Yeah, did you see what happened to Al Sharpton yesterday?
Yeah,
Al
Sharpton got booed. Didn't play.
They told him to go home. Get out of here. We don't want your racism here.
Yes,
I love that.
It tells you this is what they're doing. This is why they're all in. You had Biden went out and basically used horrible, as you said, language and said, you know, these people will pay, talking about the border agents. You had Kamala Harris sent out onto The View. She has been invisible, and all of a sudden she's talking about, oh, we're in slavery again. You had Mayorkas, who, as you remember, had said when he first saw the images, oh, there's nothing wrong here. Today, he just said the footage painfully conjures up the worst elements of the nation's ongoing battle against systemic racism. So they are turning, instead of playing in Mitch McConnell's wheelhouse, they are now going to gin up fury and try and win the battle by public fury so that their support for Biden going forward against the, you know, horrible America, because Biden is blaming America. If you remember, the kids in cages were Trump's fault. They were never Obama's fault. And then they're not Biden's fault again. They were Trump's fault. The Border Patrol agents, they're not Biden's fault. Why is that? Why is his own administration not, as he said he takes responsibility, but he's not. He's blaming America. So now, in my opinion, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at this border fracas, this fracas that they're trying to exploit. It's because they are really in trouble politically in the budget debate.
Now, on Monday, Pelosi, the infrastructure bill, Nancy Pelosi says, is going to hit the House floor. This is that part of the bill, the $1.2 trillion bipartisan bill. She said it's going to come up on Monday. The other speaker,
this makes the left mad.
Right. The other speaker of the House, Representative Pramila Jayapal, head of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, had a very quick retort. She said, I don't bluff. I don't grandstand.
Right.
We just don't have the votes for it. She has about 100 Democrats.
99 votes she has. 99
votes lined up to vote against this infrastructure deal because it is not, as you said, linked to the other $3.5 trillion spending bill that gives everything to everybody.
Well, so, you know, the left got spanked the other day, if you remember. This was on where you had AOC sobbing on the House floor. This was on the Iron Dome finance vote to support for Israel. Now, the left is really anti-Israel, all of them, the squad.
Yep.
And the final vote was 420-9. And so the moderates and the rest of the Democrat party just basically delivered, with Nancy Pelosi's blessing, they delivered a huge spanking to these leftists who are anti-Israel. So,
to the extent that as you said, AOC was sobbing, she changed her vote from no to present so that she's no longer on the record voting against the Israeli attempt to help secure themselves.
Right. Well, she wants to run against Schumer in the Senate, so she could not vote no and maintain that. Wouldn't that be? I think she'll win. I think she'll win, and you know, it'll be delightful for us.
Do you have a prediction as to what's going to happen on Monday when they bring up this? When they are supposed to bring up this infrastructure vote? Now, if they don't, if for some reason Pelosi comes up with some reason not to bring up this infrastructure vote, that means these moderates could just walk away from the whole package, walk away from the whole deal. If it loses, the moderates can walk away and say, nope, we're not, these so-called moderate Democrats, and say, no, we're not going to go along with all of this. This could turn out to be a S show. And you
the whole thing
know
could collapse. It could be thanks to Mitch McConnell allowing this to go forward, to have this collision of these two huge budget busters at the same time, which is too much for the system to handle, believe it or not. And if he's not going to help them raise their debt ceiling, this really could implode. My prediction, however, is that it doesn't. My prediction is Nancy holds her bizarre little coalition together, and that they have no trouble in the House. And I think that the Democrats end up passing it on their own in the Senate, and that there will be no Republican votes, and the Republicans will successfully run on this big nut that the Democrats are trying to pass through the system. I think that that's going to be the outcome.
Okay. But I have a different prediction.
It could go the other way. You tell me what you think.
I think that the next House Speaker, the next Democrat House Speaker, Pramila Jayapal, is going to whip Nancy's butt on Monday, one way or the other. I think she and these progressives are fed up with Nancy Pelosi. I think that they are letting it be known. Look, Diana, something odd has happened. The mainstream press used to be so-called centrist left. I mean, they used to be okay, let's be the grown-ups. Let's do the mainstream press has completely sided with these progressives. Right. They want all this massive spending. And they in fact, there were a spate of articles, one after another. Who's to blame if this fails? They're going to blame Joe Manchin in the Senate, and they're going to blame the senator from Arizona, Samina, what's her name? Kirsten Sinema. Yeah, Ms. Sinema. Okay? And so they're already lining up to blame them. They want this. The mainstream media wants these progressives to succeed. They want this full-blown socialism to be shoved down America's throat. And I think
Here's the thing, though. You're forgetting the poll numbers. I mean, you've got these moderates who are not powerless, who are not going to go along. I don't think that your coalition has enough. 99 isn't enough to direct Nancy Pelosi. And you've got experience versus, you know, passion and hot-headedness.
Well, Diana, this has been a most interesting analysis. Tomorrow, Saturday, you'll join us for the Saturday show. We'll pick it up there, and then we'll wait and see what the votes are Monday. Okay?
Yes, we will. Thanks, James.
Thank you, Diana. Ladies and gentlemen, that is America's Princess of Policy, and you can see how brilliant Diana Mee is. And we are just so glad to have her as part of this program every single week. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77, New York City. The crown jewel of American radio. We are coming right back. Don't you dare go away.